Today on the Guy at the Movies podcast, Sean and I officially announced that we're throwing our hats in the ring for Superman Legacy. Who would you play?
Oh, Legacy.
Legacy. You would play Legacy?
Is that one of the characters? Or?
Sure. Yeah, we'll roll with it.
Cool. We'll roll I'll be Legacy.
I want to be evil. I want to play Lex Luthor.
You'd have a good little Lex. I think I'd be a good Lex too, though. We're two Lexes in this crazy world. Two Lexes and no Superman. Two Lexes and no Superman. This is a country song. I'm tired.
Everyone is part of the family at this point.
It used to be my fan fiction idea that I had. So this movie was garbage. What is this?
You are a monster beyond all belief.
Put them all in the thing and let them do the thing. You know what I mean?
How? Oh, you're lucky to have me back.
You're never gonna get 60 million people because you're not a Super Bowl. Shut up.
So chaotic.
Welcome to the Guy at the Movies podcast. I am Joe. He is Sean, and it looks like his camera is frozen.
Let's just hope the mic is still working. The mic is still working, so that's as long as we get the audio in. The YouTube will look bad, but we'll fix it in post.
Mic check. We can't fix a frozen frame in post.
We'll fix it in post. It's fine. We'll fix it in post.
Sean, how are you?
Oh God, I'm doing so well. No, that's a lie. I'm exhausted for no reason whatsoever.
I am right there with you. I am absolutely exhausted. And I just realized that I didn't watch the trailer that we're about to talk about. So let's dive into the trailers. Sean, tell me all about Poor Things.
Oh boy, I'm so upset that you didn't watch this trailer because this is a weird, weird movie. It's from Yorgos Lanthimos of the Favorite fame. And most people know him from The Favorite. That's where he got most of his Oscar noms. And people thought that that movie was kind of weird. Well, if you thought that movie was kind of weird, get ready for Yorgos, because he's also done The Lobster and Dogtooth and The Killing of a Sacred Deer, all excruciatingly disturbing and odd movies in every way. And I think this one, they gave him the blank check, because this movie is like a complete art project. It's absolute insanity. Like, crazy visuals the whole time. He's back with Emma Stone again. Yorgos right now at this point has two movies that are going to be released this year, with this one and also one called And. I have a feeling And might get pushed, but Poor Things though looks absolutely bonkers in every way, and I'm just excited to see the people that, like, you know, gathered together after The Favorite and said, hey, another nice lovely period piece, and they're all just gonna throw up everywhere at the sight of this movie. It looks crazy, but I'm looking forward to it.
He got that Beau is Afraid money.
This is 100% a Beau is Afraid, without a doubt.
I'm looking up And Emma Stone's also starring in that.
I mean, that's the muse now. I mean, her best one of her best performances, at least, was from The Favorite. So, you know what? If she could draw the best performances out of her, I'm in.
Emma Stone, Joe Alwyn, Hong Chau, Willem Dafoe, Jesse Plemons.
Oh, wow, that's a great cast. I just love the idea that people are like, well, Yorgos is going to get nominated for another Oscar. Then this trailer came out. It's like, no, probably not. Like, weird. So this will be one of those things that, like, it's just like, you know, we gave it to Everything Ever All at Once, so we're going to give it to a straight edge this year.
Oh, God. What's going to make it this year? A movie called, Hollywood.
I made a horrific choice last year. Where I don't know if you remember these columns that I wrote, but I wrote like a part one and a part two column that basically just listed every single movie coming out in the fall and my analysis of, like, whether or not it was going to be it was an absolute wreck. I was like, I'm not doing that again this year, because it was just me speculating wildly. Either the movies were terrible or they're coming out this year, and maybe, like, oh yeah, I didn't have Everything Ever All at Once on there. So you know what? I'm not doing that this year. I'm going with personal picks only and going from there.
Oh, my God. I think Air is going to be up there.
Air might be up there, yeah. I think so. Mm.
Let's talk about the movie event of the summer, The Meg 2, The Trench. Jason Statham returns with three sharks and dinosaurs and all kinds of shit going on in this. Listen, I had a lot of fun with the first Meg, and, like, this is not an Oscar contender. It's not intended to be. I'm very excited to just go have a blast watching sharks eat people. And it looks ridiculous. It looks like they kind of get, I don't want to say blank check, but it looks like they were like, yeah, what do you want to do? Like, what's the pitch here? Where are we going? And I know like they're adapting the second book and things get wilder apparently in the second book, but this should be interesting.
These are based on books.
The Meg. Oh, no. There's like five
they're based on books. Wow. That is the surprise of the day for me. I did not know they were based on books. They do not have that based on a book vibe to them.
Oh, and there's still another one coming out. You ready for the titles?
Oh, let's hear this.
Wait, I lost the list. There it is. The Meg, The Trench, Meg Primal Waters, Meg Hell's Aquarium.
There we go. Hell's Meg Aquarium can't. Okay.
Meg,
you can't have an aquarium in hell. You can't have an aquarium in hell. There's no water down there. It's too hot.
Do you make the rules? Do you make the rules?
I don't. I follow the good book, sir.
The encyclopedia. Coming in 2021, it says on the author's website, we are now in 2023, is Meg Purgatory.
No, fuck off. That's like where it's like, it's just like a sand shark, and it's like, oh, he's not that scary. He's kind of scary, but he's not that scary. Like, that's Purgatory for you.
Meg Purgatory is out.
Oh, hey, everybody, get to your bookstores.
Wait, is it out? Currently unavailable. Oh no!
This is promising as hell now.
This is crazy. Wait, hold on. Ready? Here's books. Book 7 in the best-selling series. Here's a free sneak peek. They give you a chapter. Do you want to hear real quick what the plot is of Meg Purgatory?
I would love to hear the plot of Meg Purgatory.
Jonas Taylor returns in the next entry in the best-selling Meg series, having managed to contain the Lepidodon, I don't know what that is, and captured the Megalodon in the Arabian Sea, Jonas still discovers that there are even more creatures lurking in the deep waters of the world. That's a terrible, terrible summary. It's like, hey, that stuff, more.
Like, here's a recap of the like strangely complex story about trapping a shark in the Arabian Sea, and now there's more monsters.
Yes. Now there's more, and I think we're going to get some more of them in
Purgatory is just not a threat. I don't understand where it's like the Meg Purgatory. Like, Purgatory is the average place to be. That's not like
God. I don't know. Are you going to go see it?
Well, so I still haven't seen the first one. Not out of protest or anything. It's just it was an August movie. What are you going to do, man? August movies are tough for me. You know, because
you gotta watch The Meg. Put it in your rotation. You'll get
if it's on a screener. I'm not gonna fucking rent The Meg. That's for sure.
It's HBO Max, I believe.
There we go. So I guess I'm watching The Meg, and I'm watching that alone because Sam is already terrified of sharks.
It'll be fine. No, it's on Hulu. It looks like.
Oh, there we go. Oh, it might be okay. That works.
Yeah. All right, let's dive into what we've been watching, and it was kind of a light week, so we watched Jennifer Lopez's new action thriller, The Mother, and boy, did she put us through it. Number one, missed opportunity not having I Am Your Mother, that song in the mix from Meghan Trainor. All the rage on TikTok right now. They could have gone viral, but you know.
I need to get into that corner of TikTok.
Yeah, it's you can't leave once you get there. This movie was not good, in my opinion. It was very cookie cutter. It was trying to be too serious, and it ended up coming across like pretty funny in some senses, which is the thing I told myself I wasn't going to say this week was in some senses. And there it is.
You made it.
Not even 10 minutes in. So, you know, change is hard. I really didn't enjoy this. I left it like debating whether or not J-Lo is a good actress in bad roles or just a bad actress. And I've come to the conclusion that I just don't care for her as an actress. Lovely lady, it seems. And, you know, her and Ben Affleck didn't have the best weekend when it came to their movies that were being released and the reception. But this one just bothered me. It didn't go where it needed to go. I kind of almost fell asleep halfway through. It just dragged on. There was I didn't even like her character. There was nothing about her character that like I ended up liking. And it just kind of reeks of Netflix once again trying to do anything that they could possibly do to get a franchise off the ground with an action star. I think they're trying to do like a Extraction type series, but this isn't going to go there. They wanted to really spin this off and do like sequels and stuff. The mother Barcelona. I don't think this works. I don't think the movie worked. I don't think it was good, and I don't want to see anymore.
Yeah, I mean, like when it comes down to it, the problem with this movie is when I saw the trailer, I expected garbage action. I expected it to be silly and kind of dumb, but I expected to be entertained with some cool action and maybe like make fun of it a little bit. But this was just boring. It committed the sin of a lame action movie with lame cliches. Those are all acceptable, by the way. But if your movie's boring, that's a problem. And this movie was boring. It doesn't really tap into, you know, any of the cool like relationships they could have had or the conflicts they could have had throughout it. I mean, this is someone who doesn't abandon their kid, but leaves their kid out of their safety, and basically, you know, is raised by someone else. There's a lot of like depth in there that you could mine, and this movie doesn't care about any of that. And it was just kind of tragic that they like kind of left an interesting premise alone. But even if they don't like make it complex, which they don't have to, once again, give us some good action. I mean, honestly, the only good action was in the first act. And then after that, they go out into the wilderness and learn to survive. And all of that is so boring. And it was really troubling on how boring it was. And that's what really bummed me out about it. I will say, you know, Jennifer Lopez was given nothing in this. You know, she can do the action lead pretty well. I think about it enough where I thought she was a great action lead. I think she has her, you know, she has her terrible performances, obviously, but she has her great ones. I will continue to fight Hustlers. Complete snub. Yeah.
But agree. I totally agree with that. Enough was 21 years ago. God. And so, like, yeah, she held her own in Enough, and that's actually like a guilty pleasure movie of mine because I think it's low key a really good movie.
It's kind of fun.
But like there was one scene in this, and I'm gonna get it wrong because I've like already forgotten about this movie. But she's like jumping down or whatever, and you can totally tell that it was her doing it, but she was probably on some wires that they cut out.
Oh yeah.
And I was just like, oh, she's starting to like. To like, it looks like she's still trying to do her own stunts, but can't do them the way she used to. That's not a knock for age or anything like that. It's just it was obvious in that moment, and it kind of bothered me.
The edits were very Liam Neeson jumping over a fence in Taken 3. Like these are like it was the cuts were just unmistakable. And you know, you mentioned Extraction. We're gonna see like what is it, the longest take of all time coming in there. So you know what, like that's gonna show you how those two measure up. And I can't wait for Extraction now to wash the taste out, because this is quite unfortunate.
Yeah, it was not good, and God, I don't understand what she's doing with her movie roles, because she does something like Hustlers, which is really well received, and then she does like these clunkers like Marry Me, you know, getting back into the rom-com, and then she does this, and like, you know, yes, she was giving nothing, but she also gave nothing with what she was given.
And that's the thing, she was producing it too, so it's not like she was like forced into some terrible role. She was like, you know, kind of bossing around too, and they're going for something about like the relationship of a mother, but that falls flat.
It didn't pan out. I agree.
Now there was some really, really, although there was one thing that was very subtle in there. Joe, did you realize that the wolf was her? Because they were very subtle with that symbolism. I didn't notice at all. And you know, like I had to read a bunch of articles about that.
I had no idea.
Like, the wolf that was protecting the babies. The wolf cubs. Yeah. It was. Yeah. That wolf was the mother.
Mind blown.
It's nuts.
I like how in the movie, spoiler slightly, she calls the mother at one point. She's like, she's fine. You'll have her home. I'll have her home, but not now, or something like that. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Is there someone else that can handle this?
Shout out to Joseph Fiennes, who now is just like being categorized as like awful villain that hates women. Because like that's exactly what he was in this.
Who's in the movie for 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I was like kind of excited for that. I was like, hey, Joseph Fiennes. And I was like, oh, he's not here at all.
Yeah, he is not here. All right, let's dive into, well, what did you rate that?
Oh, I gave it an F.
Did you?
Oh, I didn't put my review up yet. I'm probably putting my review up tomorrow. So
I didn't put my review up either, but
I thought about a D. I did. I just said, because, you know, there's like the potential for fun garbage action. But then when I like wrote my review, I was like, oh no, there's nothing good about this. This is an F. Yeah. Like just straight up. Yeah. Like, and so
when you're trying to find one of my few Fs of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the only thing I could say like that was positive was it had potential, meaning it could have been good, but it just wasn't.
Hey, apparently they have started screening the next Exorcist movie, Exorcist Believer.
Oh yeah, I've heard about this.
And they're not great, and they're saying that it has one excellent jump scare, and the common complaints are that it's too long and not scary enough. So get ready for that.
They're Halloweenizing the Exorcist trilogy or the Exorcist original movies. Just a bad idea, man. Like we said when we watched the trailer for The Pope's Exorcist, I don't think anyone's scared of the devil anymore, dude. I am someone that's very easily scared, like very easily scared. And if I hear like a kid in a deep voice saying, bring me the priest, I just don't give a flying shit. I really don't care about them anymore. It's like, dude, yeah, next. Okay, cool. He's the devil. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's dive into the news of the week. The first big one is that there are updated rumors around Superman Legacy casting. And this, of course, is the first movie to kick off the new DCU under James Gunn and Peter Safran. Basically, what we are hearing is that Nicholas Holt is in contention for Lex Luthor, that he's being eyed as like the favorite. And I, again, take this all with a grain of salt, because who knows who the favorites are besides James Gunn and, like, you know, his assistants.
Once again, it will be none of these people. Let's just put that in there.
David Corenswet, Jacob Elordi, and Andrew Richardson are in the running for Superman/Clark Kent. Interestingly, David Corenswet has been fan cast for a while. You know who he
Superman.
Is.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what I've seen him in, but like I saw him in. He was the boyfriend in The Politician. Is the only thing I can remember.
He was in The Politician, and he also was the cinematographer in Pearl.
Oh yeah,
there it is.
Geez. There it is.
Then for Lois, the names that are out there are Emma McKay or Mackie. Sorry, is it Mackie?
It's Mackie.
Rachel Brosnahan, Phoebe Dynevor?
I don't know that one.
Samara Weaving.
You got to go with Emma Mackey on that one. I think her stock is... So, like, obviously I love... I don't know, unfortunately, who... I bet I would look up Phoebe Devonar, know who that is. But I love those other actors. I really do. But Emma Mackey's the one who's got the stars on the rise. And she's in Sex Education. She was in a recent period piece movie that got like decent press, but just kind of came and went. I kind of remember what it was called, but I think that that's the move to do. Like she's got they're all very young, but she's got the most youthful, spunky kind of glow that I would love to see from that character. But Holt's a great Luthor, I think. Is Holt going for Luthor? That's a great Lex Luthor, famous enough, but not too famous. And then David Corenswet makes a lot of sense. I'm always wary of rumors, but you know, these are good castings. I will give them that.
All right, I'm doing the pronunciation of Phoebe's name. All right, Dynevor. Phoebe Dynevor was in the following: Bridgerton.
Okay, fuck. Okay, yeah, never mind.
She's also in Fair Play. She's in Younger, Snatch back in the day. Wait, what? Snatch.
TV series Snatch. This is tough. Okay, well, maybe it could be her, so her career could turn around.
Well, and she's a beautiful woman. She doesn't have the look to me of what you would expect from Lois Lane. Like Lois Lane has like a rough edge to her, right? Yeah. Like she's very smart, she's very determined, and she just has that, you know, presence. And I don't see it here, but doesn't mean that she. You know, can't do it. I mean, obviously people casting know better than I do. Gunn did tweet out and say that he would never comment on who or who is involved because it involves people's careers and stuff like that. So he didn't come out and like strongly like deny anything, which is, you know, he usually, if he doesn't like a tweet or strongly disagrees with it, usually calls the person like a liar or something.
Or just says yes/no.
Yes, and we should also share that this came from the Hollywood Reporter, so a little bit more meat there, and a little bit of credibility versus some other outlets that usually release this stuff. Also from The Hollywood Reporter comes my favorite casting of the week, and this is that Willem Dafoe has joined Jenna Ortega and Michael Keaton and Catherine O'Hara and who am I missing here? Winona Ryder.
One other one. Yeah, Winona Ryder. There's someone else, though. I can't remember.
And Justin Theroux and Monica Bellucci. they are all in Beetlejuice 2. I don't know if it was this article, but I read somewhere else. Oh, here it is. Dafoe is playing a law enforcement officer in the afterlife.
Okay, that's awesome. That's actually awesome.
That's perfect.
When it comes to the Jenna Ortega casting, I can't think of a word of perfect casting, but extremely boring. Where it's just like, oh yeah, no, of course she's in it as Winona Ryder. it's like there's nothing even exciting about that casting, even though she's amazing and I'm looking forward to her in it. But it's just like, oh yeah, that's like a down the middle obvious move. So, but still very excited, very, very great to see that. Have they said that Burton's coming back for this one? Or
yes.
Okay, good. So that will be a really interesting way to do it. You know, I always worry about how this will look. Especially with Burton, who, like, you know, at first in the original Beetlejuice made like claymation worlds and stuff. And now he will unfortunately might go into CGI. And I don't want to be someone that just complains about CGI all the time. But some of the magic in Beetlejuice is how claymation-y it looks, how like it looks very, very interesting and distinct. And so if he goes for a different look on this, I'll be a little bit bummed out, which I unfortunately I can see him doing. In general, though, I mean, I'm excited to see this. I never saw the original Beetlejuice until like a year ago. So like it's in my brain and I'm ready to enjoy.
What's interesting is that the creators of Wednesday on Netflix, Algo and Miles Miller, wrote the script for Beetlejuice 2.
That's unfortunate. I didn't like Wednesday that much. But
I didn't like Wednesday that much. I did love Smallville that they created.
Okay. That's good.
So I don't know where,
That'll be interesting then. Yeah. It's a movie. So it's different than shows. That always sometimes translates a little different, but should be, I'm for the most part optimistic about this.
Yes. Should be interesting. The next casting comes in the form of Melissa Barrera and Nicholas Holt in a movie that's being referred to as an erotic nightmare. And it's a dating show horror film called The One. As you put it in here, Melissa Barrera is having a moment. This movie is quote unquote set within the confines of on a reality dating show referred to as The One. She makes a last ditch effort to find love by becoming a contestant on a reality dating show, now down to herself and two other women competing to win the heart of Mason, played by Holt. Taylor begins to feel the artifice of the show fade, and the game becomes terrifyingly real. Amidst the opulent beachfront setting, fairy tale dates, and ever-flowing champagne, pursuit turns into obsession, and rivalry turns into treachery as reality itself blurs. And they refer to it as a nightmarish horror about the romantic and psychological warfare waged by our beloved popular entertainment. And also begs the question, are we, the viewers, complicit? I'm so into this.
I love that she's getting these chances, because it seems like since In the Heights, there was this like moment where, you know, in the Scream movies, I think we both love her. She's not terribly beloved by fans, which is a little bit annoying and kind of a bummer. And so I'm glad that she keeps on getting like these chances, because I think she has like a great deal of talent and I just want to see her in more stuff. So I'm happy that it's in stuff like Radio Silence, Universal Monster movies, and erotic thrillers. Which, bring back the erotic thriller. The 90s had them in spades. We need some more erotic.
Left and right.
Yep.
I really like her. I'm excited to see her in this. I hope that she gets more chances to do, like, an In the Heights or a Carmen again. Like, a better Carmen.
Hopefully. Oh, Carmen. She's a Carmen, too. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot going on. I don't want to see her typecast as, like, the horror girl. Because I feel like that doesn't have legs anymore. Like, I mean, the only true, like, female horror icon that made something of herself was Jamie Lee Curtis, if I'm not ignoring anyone right now. Nev Campbell just did the Scream movies and a few other little things.
Well, that's the, and then you're labeled Scream Queen, and that puts you in a box of like even a smaller box than usual, because a guy can do a horror, not to get all SJW, but a guy can do a horror movie and then move on to some other genre. But if a girl does the horror movie, they say Scream Queen, and then that's it. Yeah. And so that's what we're dealing with Jenna Ortega now, who, you know,
I think about her in that movie, The Fallout, which is not a scary movie in any way. She was spectacular in that. So she's got talent in other ways. And so I hope that's the same with Barrera. But you know what? Get the bag first and then, go for any roles you want. Let's hope.
Your new favorite phrase is get the bag.
Have I been saying that of late?
It's like, as I say, in some senses, you say get the bag. It's so funny because you're like so hip and cool with it.
Oh, yeah. No, it just rolls off the tongue. I don't even realize I'm saying these cool things.
Apparently. Phrases. And I don't know what we're doing with the eyebrow there, but
I don't know what I'm doing either. It's actually stuck like this. I'm in trouble.
It's also creeping me out. So I'm going to move on to another story here. And this is about Will Poulter.
My tongue thing to creep you out, but that's...
Context, please.
The tongue thing. People know what it means.
Will Poulter recently revealed it was to GQ, that a guy at a urinal in LA turned to him and said, "You're in Toy Story, right?" And he said, "Well, that was animated." But yeah, apparently a lot of fans compare him to Sid, the Toy Story villain, the neighbor next door. And I can totally see it.
Well, he has such a good villain face. I mean, I think about him in that movie Detroit, where he played a true villain, like terrifying villain. And so I could just see, he just like is associated with villains. I'm very worried about this news, though, because this is exactly what's going to be like the when they say, "Hey, you know what? Disney's looking at this news," and they're saying, oh, wait a minute.
Live action.
A live action Toy Story. We got our Sid, Will Poulter. We're in. Let's keep going with it. It's like, oh no.
He went on to say, quote, "I don't want to be rude. I also appreciate there's a meme going around of me. I dressed up as Sid from Toy Story for anti-bullying week, so arguably I haven't helped my case. But Toy Story came out in 1995. I was 2, and they weren't doing it through live action." I love this.
Oh god, that is actually pretty good. I like that he's a good sport about it too, because he has such a distinct look. So I love that. Like, there's this following for him, and he just embraces it. He seems like a pretty cool dude.
Overnight transfer. The one that went viral in relation to me was a picture of me and We're the Millers next to a picture of me and Guardians. There's literally 10 years between those two pictures, but people don't even realize it. Someone in the pub 2 days ago said, "Oh, you've had a glow up. Congrats." It's a bit hard not to accept that as you were ugly for the best part of your life, and now things are looking up a bit. That's great.
He's fun.
Oh, I like him. I like him a lot.
I was just going to let you dig your hole on that one.
Nope, staying. In relation to Will Poulter, did you see what Chris Pratt did or didn't do?
Oh, no. What happened?
He did a Mother's Day post tagging like his mother-in-law, his mother, and his current wife, but not the mother of his son, Anna Faris. And people are calling him out on it.
That's when you just don't make the Mother's Day post. That's when you just don't do it. Like, if it's too painful, if it's too difficult, that's when you just don't do it. It's just like, okay, I'll text them privately.
I am your mother. All right. Hold on 1 second. My dog is like knocking something.
What are you doing? Cows, no!
He's crazy. I got him a basket for his toys and he's chewing the basket. Like,
oh, that sounds perfect. Yeah.
Oh my god. Anyway, all right. Last week, Bob Iger, when he wasn't shitting on Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, took a moment to talk about Disney Plus, and essentially they're working to make it more profitable. They did lose subscribers, but it wasn't as bad as I guess they had anticipated, or something along those lines. But basically what's going to happen are two things. One, Disney Plus and Hulu are going to combine into one app. They still will be available separately, I believe. But there will be the combination of one there. They're also going to be producing less content moving forward for Disney Plus, which I think makes sense. It's not the pandemic anymore, knock on wood. And we, don't need to overload the streamers. I think that was a real interesting time where they were trying to just get as much content into the living rooms as possible. It also makes me wonder what's going to happen with projects like the Lilo and Stitch live action that's slated to go to Disney Plus, if they'll just bump that to theaters. But I digress. And along with producing less content, they're going to be removing some content from the platform. So how I see this is it's like the Disney Vault, like they used to do with physical media. The Disney Vault basically was like, the vault's open. If you want to get like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, here's your opportunity. They'll probably do a version of that with Disney Plus and be like streaming for the month of August, Peter Pan, you know?
And then you think it might come back, like it'll like go away, but then it'll come back again kind of deal. Like,
yeah, probably. Yeah,
that's what I think probably it will be too. Yeah. So
do you have thoughts?
I've already realized that I'm on a delay, so I'm putting gaps in between what I'm saying. I'm starting to be trained with that. I will say that, I mean, this makes perfect sense, mainly because there's so much overlap in Disney and Hulu that it just makes sense to put it all one. I've noticed one of them is a Small Light, which is a really, really good Holocaust drama on National Geographic with Belle Powley as the woman that hides the Frank family. And it's like genuinely amazing. And so I've seen that both on Disney Plus and Hulu. So it's one of these things where there's so many things like that, where just to mix those properties and put them all together on one app just makes a lot of sense in general. This will curry favor with a lot of people that, you know, are like me that are paying for Disney Plus and paying for Hulu, where, you know, I could probably try to figure out some bundle, but I'm too lazy to, you know, I don't know, save money. In general, yeah, I'm happy that this move is going down. It makes sense. And I'm always someone that gets icky about like streaming services taking away some of their stuff. But I hope it's like what you're saying is where, you know, it'll come back. I mean, granted, I think I was the only person that watched John Stamos in Big Shot. But like it's not that it's a legendary show anyway, but it's unfortunate that something will just disappear off the face of the earth.
Well, and I'm hoping that it's not like a Batgirl situation, which I just saw another article refer to. It says not unsimilar to that. I don't know about that. It sounds like what they're just doing is trying to make things not as accessible so that they have some incentive to get people back or to, you know, showcase things elsewhere. And maybe they'll also be able to license some of it out to, you know, platforms and stuff. I don't know. Real quick, because I just saw this pop up. Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves hits Paramount Plus tomorrow.
Holy shit.
So that's fun. Yeah. I'm hoping that does well on there because that movie deserves better.
I think, did it have a rough time at the box office? I can't even remember.
Yeah. Like, had a good first weekend and then just shat the bed.
Yeah, that's a shame. I mean, it is very solidly family oriented, and Paramount Plus is a very family oriented app, so I could see it really skyrocketing on there.
I can't wait to log in and see RuPaul's All Stars 8 advertised right next to Dungeons and Dragons. My world's colliding.
Sounds good.
Freaky Friday, we're getting a sequel. Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis are coming back. That's the story.
Yeah, this one is just okay. So that Oscar was a one-time thing. Congrats. I've never even seen the original, or, you know, wait, technically I've seen the original Freaky Friday, the one with Jodie Foster. Huh? Applause. I like old movies.
I hate you for that.
That was bad. I was getting into my persona, you know, like, you know, just kind of a prick. I never saw the 2003 Freaky Friday. Once again, like I always say, not out of protest, just never really came across it. You know, I'm happy. I am, in all seriousness, it's like, okay, Lindsay Lohan is going to be in this. I would like her to, you know, be in a project that's big, like do something well. I mean, she was in that god-awful Netflix really, really genuinely bad. Like, that does not count as a movie to me. I saw that and I didn't review it because I'm like, that's not a movie. I can't even give that an F. It was that bad. So I want her to be in something that has some stakes, like has a production company and a director that probably isn't, like, you know, conscious or unconscious. But no, you know, I wish them the best, but yeah, this is like the way you presented this news. Yeah, I could give a shit.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's so Friday. Tough. Like, what, are they going to switch again? Like, cool, dude. Like,
and it's also very weird that they did this right at, like, with Freaky having just come out last year, or the year before.
So when I read this in the notes, well, I made these notes, but when I reread this in the notes, I saw that and I was like, hey, a Freaky sequel. And then I was like, oh no, I'm an idiot.
Arguably my favorite news of the week, Pedro Pascal has been set, is set to star in the film Weapons. This is the follow-up from Zach Cregger. Zach Cregger, who did Barbarian, which was a very, very surprising horror film. Did that come out this year? Yeah, right?
Well, I guess technically last year. Within this... last calendar year, but with
calendar
this,
year.
yeah.
The film is described by the Hollywood Reporter as a multi and interrelated story horror epic that tonally is in the vein of Magnolia.
I mean, God bless him, because his first movie was a swing and this is going to be just that. Like, that is like, if I didn't know it was Zach Cregger, I'd be avoiding that movie. So congrats to him for just going for it.
Apparently he wrote this in a secluded cabin on the East Coast. So there's that.
I mean, I first of all love, like, Pedro Pascal being in this is such a huge get. Not that, like, Justin Long and Bill Skarsgård are huge celebrities. So already, like, you know, he was able to get a good crew around the first one. But just this sounds amazing. This guy's, like, huge right now. And just getting him for the next one is going to be great.
Yeah, talk about having a moment. Melissa Barrera is having a moment, but Pedro Pascal also having moments.
Oh, man, oh, man.
I would like you to know that The Mother was watched by more U.S. households than Glass Onion and Murder Mystery 2.
No. See, I don't.
Here comes, like, The Mothers.
No. I'm telling you, dude, that it's such bullshit. Like, I don't believe Netflix. This is what the writer's strike is talking about. These are people that watched a half hour of this movie.
This is, like, from Samba TV.
From a Nielsen ratings. I don't know what it, like, does that mean they watched the full thing? Does that mean they just watched a half hour? Like, I don't know what that stuff means anymore. So I don't know.
It doesn't. Hold on. I'm trying to see real quick if they say what they're measuring, but I'm not seeing it. It was watched by 2.8 million U.S. households over its debut weekend. Samba also says The Mother over-indexed by 33% among Black households and 25% among Hispanic households. Saw better two-day viewership than Samba measured for two of Netflix's other recent popular films, Glass Onion and Murder Mystery 2.
So there's a lesson in all of this. If you have a really shitty movie, make sure it's at a time when no other movies are being released.
this is also the problem, though, with Netflix. And this is why I struggle to get excited about anything that they have released or that they have coming up for release, is because they learn the wrong lessons. They're not in it to create a good movie. They're in it to create... They just want that franchise. They want to be able to keep it going. That's why we got a Murder Mystery 2. If Murder Mystery released in theaters, we wouldn't get a Murder Mystery 2. Glass Onion is an outlier in all this because it's a great cast. It's a good movie. And, you know, they have a good series going there. And it was, you know, it's up for awards all the time. Or both the first two were. I don't know. They're just learning the wrong lesson from this.
Yeah. And it's also true that viewership doesn't really, like, equate to subscribers, which is what they want. They want more people to subscribe. And on this business model, and this is why streaming has suffered, and this is why, like, the writers are going on strike, is because of how much streaming is suffering, is because, like, viewership doesn't mean money for this. Subscribers mean money. And so, cool, 2.8 million households viewed this, but then, like, all of them already had Netflix, and sure, they're paying monthly, but, you know, if you don't see a rise in subscribership, it gets tricky. It gets very tricky.
Yeah, that's what I would like to know. Like, how many new subscribers signed up Friday?
Can't imagine that many. But that would be the number to go with, like, because that's the number that, like, would actually be the reason why.
Right. I just saw what you changed your rant to.
Yeah.
Or rave or something.
Have you heard about this?
A little bit, because there's a gay comedian that I follow who's doing his own videos of Seventh Heaven for a rewatch. But why don't you kick us off here?
So I should preface this by saying that I was a serious viewer of Seventh Heaven when growing up. I had a relatively conservative household, and I thought the show was, like, quite fine. It was something to put on, like, you know, but we did watch it, like, and I thought it was an okay show. I really did. But, like, recently on TikTok, there's been the trend of going back to Seventh Heaven episodes. And the fact that I ever could have thought this show was any semblance of good, like, makes me feel so ashamed. This show is pretty terrible. And by the way, it's not like episodes I didn't see. These are episodes I've seen, but they're just so overdramatic, so ridiculous. The pot smoking episode might be the funniest thing, where the mom admits that she smoked pot, and it is the most overdramatic moment of all time. I remember as a kid watching that and not being fazed by how stupid the show is. And so it's just fascinating. And I think you had a tweet about going back to look at like old movies and stuff. This is just something else where I'm just like, I can't believe this is what this show was and how I didn't love the show like in that way, but still was sort of just surprised at how normal it seemed to me when it's just not at all normal. It is not insane. And it's like not at all. Like I'm watching these clips back on TikTok, which I'm very happy I'm in this corner of TikTok. It's amazing. Like this show was just bad. Like not because of the views, kind of because of the views, but not even because of the views it had sometimes. Yes. But like just the presentation of it is so overdramatic and ridiculous. And I just did not realize that at the time. It's just, hey, revisit some old shows you watch, everybody, because holy shit.
Well, it's also like some of those the weekly dramas on like WB, UPN, yeah, and CW were so overdramatized. And, you think about like One Tree Hill was one that I watched religiously. And you think of the shit they went through on One Tree Hill, like week in and week out. And like, what? Number one, when are you doing your schoolwork? There's just so much shit going on. Interesting though. I found myself on there last night laying in bed, and I don't know how I got there.
Seventh Heaven TikTok. Yeah, you never know how you get to these parts of TikTok. They know more than you, which bothers me to all belief. But the Seventh Heaven TikTok is a special place, and I'm just so happy I've been there now.
Trailer for Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon hits Thursday.
Before the masterpiece known as Fast X.
Fast X.
Well, that actually makes sense. Is Killers going to Cannes, right?
Yes.
And Cannes is just starting this week, so I guess you'd think they'd wait until after to get some positive reviews or something to put in there to be like an amazing spectacle. Like
probably just drumming up excitement for the weekend news by storm. My rant or rave is a rave. So as some of you may know, I am a very big Gordon Ramsay fan. Very, very big Gordon Ramsay fan. Own his cookbooks. I've read his bio, his autobiography. Watch every show that he has. I have recently been on a binge of Kitchen Nightmares, which I have watched. This is a reality show that I have already seen, but I've decided to start over and watch it again for some odd reason. and I would like to think that I am solely responsible for this news that was just released today. On Monday morning, Fox announced that next season, Kitchen Nightmares will be coming back. I'm so pumped.
There you go. There you go, buddy.
I think I did this. I'm responsible for this.
That's me. Like, did I sync Movie Pass? Did I am I gonna sync AMC Movie Pass for theaters? Like, but
Kitchen Nightmares is an interesting show because number one, being in the restaurant industry is incredibly hard, and the number of restaurants that don't make it is very high. What happened with the Kitchen Nightmare shows though is they go, like, if you go back and you look at which ones made it, it had a very high failure rate ultimately. The ones that he would rescue didn't stick around much longer. I remember there was one right down the street from where I used to live in Philadelphia, and he was there. It was on my birthday weekend. I had no idea he was in town. I was pissed. But it literally was like two blocks away from where I lived, and that didn't make it.
It's so funny you think about, like, because I don't think I've ever really watched an episode of Kitchen Nightmares, but I watched the similar show Bar Rescue, and yes, like I adore Bar Rescue, and they did the same thing where it's like, let's check in on them 3 months later, and it's like, oh yeah, we just fell into our own ways and just imploded on ourselves again.
I have an episode of Kitchen Nightmares, the only episode you have to watch. It is.
I may have seen this one episode if it's the one I'm thinking of.
I feel like we've talked about this before.
Is Amy's it the one where? Company. Yeah, so it's the one where she, like, he just leaves. He doesn't even try to help.
Yeah.
He's like, the episode's like 2 minutes long. He's like, no, I'm out. I can't deal with you guys.
They moved overseas to like Israel or something. Like they're somewhere else doing other shit. She like was a cannabis cook for a while, like making recipes with cannabis, and now she's doing something else. I just saw an update on TikTok. They did an interview with them.
it bothers me that, like, yeah, they could still capitalize off that fan being like one of the places where Ramsey just quits, and like, so their stuff is probably still bad, but they can like put the sign up there and people go there as a bucket list now.
Well, and she's still claiming, they're both still claiming that like it was all scripted and that like they said they weren't coming back, and so he made it a bigger deal, but like he still to this day is like, oh fuck.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's scripted, who benefits from that? He gave up on them easily. It's like people that say the slap is fake or the envelope at the Oscars is fake. It's like, no, everyone looked stupid, so there's no way that's like nobody benefits from that being fake at all.
Absolutely insane. But I'm so excited. I love those shows so much. They need to bring Hotel Hell back. That one was fun.
I occasionally dive into the reality ocean, but I'm just, you know, just dipping my toe in once in a while.
What did he call the woman the other night, like on Kitchen Nightmares? And by the other night, I mean this aired like 10 years ago. He said something to her, or no, to a guy. The guy was claiming that the wall was clean, but he like ran his finger down it and it was all this like scum or whatever. And I think he called him a dirty pig or something. But he was like, "Go touch it, you dirty pig."
Is this the one, the show that I've seen like the meme online where he puts two slices of bread between someone and says, "What are you?" And she goes, An idiot sandwich.
That's Hell's Kitchen.
Oh.
That's the cooking competition show that's been on for like 21, 22 seasons. That is very highly rated for Fox. he can draw a crowd, you know? They must see something. I'm interested to see what the decision is behind this, because he, 4 years ago, he was like, I'm done. I got to be done with this. Or 7 years ago, I got to be done with this. And then a couple years later, came back and started 24 Hours to Hell and Back, another kitchen renovation show.
I mean, everybody's got a number. We'll see him playing golf in the Live Tour soon.
I do love Gordon Ramsay. Oh, his food's so good. Anyway, new this week, we have Fast X, which we didn't mention this in stories, but it is the first of a reported trilogy to finish up the movie.
If you put that in the outline, I would have deleted it. I'm not gonna. I don't care. This is just. What are we thinking? And Quentin Tarantino has his last film. Bullshit. Like, these are the things where I'm like, no. These people are liars all the time. We're gonna see 18 more Fast movies. Like, they make money. Like, they're like, no, absolutely not.
We should also mention that there is a blatant leak of the, or spoiler, I should say, of the after credit scene that we're not going to discuss here. But did you see this? That the outlet, The Wrap, literally published an article about it, and the movie like just premiered.
I'm trying to be cool about this, but there's a fucking post credit scene for the Fast movies. Like, what is? Oh God!
Yes, Sanctuary hits limited theaters. The Master Gardener, which was a movie that I despised, hits limited theaters. Favorite. Oh my God! And White Men Can't Jump, which is a remake that apparently they did, starring Jack Harlow, the rapper, is hitting Hulu on Friday.
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna miss that happened. One.
You busy that day?
I think I'm gonna be busy that day. Yeah, for that streaming premiere.
Yeah, your newfound green thumb gonna be out in the backyard,
buddy. I'm telling you, it was great. It was great out there. Just the fruits of the labor. There was a bunch of people that came over last night. I showed them all, and none of them gave a shit.
I give a shit. Kudos. Good job.
Thank you, buddy.
Good job. Maybe that will be the new background for our podcast. It would just be that sitting area.
It's a lovely sitting area.
Lovely sitting area. Sean, see you next week.
Later.
The Guy at the Movies podcast is a joint venture between Math Teacher Movies and Guy at the Movies. You can catch new episodes weekly right here wherever you're listening to this one. Subscribe so you never miss a beat.